This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Kenna.
We turn our attention to education. Carol Burris, principal of Southside High School in Rockville Center for 15 years and an outspoken critic of Common Core standards and related testing, left that post to fight what she says are harmful educational reforms. Carol Burris has become executive director of the Network for Public Education Foundation, assuming that position after serving as the principal of Southside High School since 2000. Dr. Burris has co-authored Detracking for Excellence and Equity and Opening the Common Core, How to Bring All Students to College and Career Readiness, and authored On the Same Track, How Schools Can Join the 21st Century Struggle Against Resegregation.
How are you, Mimi?
Well, we're good within the scheme of things. How do you see Trump's pick for Secretary of Education, Amway billionaire Betsy DeVos, seeking to transform the educational landscape of the United States in her position at the head of a department that has a role in overseeing the schooling of more than 50 million American children?
Well, in one word, train wreck. There are, I think, four compelling reasons why she should not lead the department. The first is she believes in unregulated schooling. Her allegiance is to the marketplace. It's not to children. And we know that because just this summer she spent well over $1 million in contributions to policymakers in order to try to limit regulations that would rein in some of the abuses in Michigan charter schools. Second is she supports the privatization of schooling, and she really is determined to destroy our democratically governed public school system. Her passion is for two things: the expansion of charter schools, especially for-profit charter schools, and vouchers to private and religious schools. She's also a big supporter of virtual schools, which are an absolute disaster. I mean, even charter school organizations have concerns about those. Third is, and this is one of the ones that worry me the most, is that her influence and her lobbying practices are ethically suspect. She proudly touts that her family is the biggest contributor of soft money to the Republican National Committee. A quote from Betsy is, "We've decided to stop taking offense at the suggestion that we are buying influence. Now I simply concede the point. We do expect something in return." I mean, that's chilling. Everybody knows it. But to have the audacity to say it is something else. And right now, she had illegally contributed to campaign funds in Ohio through her school choice PAC, resulting in a fine of over $5 million. And she has yet to repay that, or family funds have yet to repay that. And fourth is, you know, DeVos is unqualified. She never attended a public school. Her children never attended a public school. She's not an educator. She has no background in education. She is someone with strong right-wing opinions who believes that this is part of bringing the kingdom of God to America through her vision of reform of public schools. I mean, I just don't know how it could get worse.
Well, you know, if you can talk for a moment about, there's the Children First America, and then there's the American Education Reform Council and the American Federation for Children. Now, Betsy DeVos is not just an advocate. She's really virtually a zealot on privatizing education, whether it's through the parochial school process or the charter school process. Can you talk a little bit about these institutions that she's, or these organizations that she advocates for, her positioning there? And then let's get into the meat of the debate about privatizing education, which seems to be, the Kentucky Fried Children model seems to be most on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, all of these organizations, and you know, I see it all the time, especially in the charter world, is they have very benevolent names. And some of them are 501c3s. They're allowed to do a certain amount of lobbying on the taxpayer dime, essentially, when you get a deduction, right? And then what you usually find is there's also a linked 501(c), and those are able to do things like endorse candidates. Then you'll have PACs that are spinoffs. And it's always a very tangled web trying to figure out who's behind, who's giving money. But this is, you know, the tools that her family uses in order to influence policy. And they've done it time and time again in this state of Michigan. I think I mentioned that they spent well over $1 million to limit the proposed regulations. But they also spent in Michigan $5.6 million in order to try to expand vouchers. Now, even in Michigan, that didn't fly. And that was a great disappointment to them. But that doesn't stop the DeVos family. And you have to think of Betsy also as part of a bigger network that includes her husband, Dick, who back in 2002, Dick DeVos was calling public schools government schools, right? So there was a very determined campaign through messaging to turn our nation against our neighborhood public schools that are governed by elected school boards. I mean, that's the government of public schools, right? Except for those cases where mayors have grabbed power in cities. But still, there's an elected official behind it. The DeVos family doesn't want this. And when you look at the philosophy of what they support with those different groups that you mentioned, you see a pattern that believes that the market is the only way to provide good schooling, and that the way to deal with quality is to have parents and kids choose with their feet, right? And so when we have massive school, when we have school closures, for example, with a lot of these charters, very, very abrupt, or we have outright cases of fraud, or we have terrible models like cyber charters, you know, where kids who don't want to get up in the morning, their parents give in and send them to a cyber school. I mean, all of these things without regulation will mean that we're going to wake up in 10 years or in 20 years and have an electorate and a citizenry that is truly, truly undereducated. For me, it's very frightening.
Carol Burris, Trump campaigned on a platform proposing to assign $20 billion of federal funds to a block grant aimed at opening up school choice. The assumption is that the productive competition between schools will result. As he said, competition always does it. Trump said that if we were speaking about air-conditioned factories rather than, you know, academic institutions, the weak fall out and the strong get better. The problem, as you see it, with the particularly the voucher system, the privatization of education, because there are certainly people who are discouraged with the production and progress of the public school arena for their children. How do you respond to these issues?
Well, look, I mean, change can result in three outcomes, right? Things can get better, things can stay the same, or they can get worse. So privatization is going to make things worse, not better. And the evidence is there. You just mentioned vouchers a few moments ago. You know, there's no evidence. There's no good evidence, right? There are some think tanks that are designed to produce, you know, the results that they want. But when you look at the objective literature, there's nothing that lets us know that vouchers work. Students using vouchers were found to underperform traditional public school students in multiple states, including the state of Ohio. And that was a study by the Fordham Institute in 2016. The Fordham Institute is actually a very conservative education think tank. Even in New Orleans, right, what everybody thinks of as the hotbed of school choice, a study by the Education Research Alliance found that voucher student test scores have slipped below traditional public school counterparts between 8 to 16 percentile points. We know in the state of Indiana, for example, where Mike Pence expanded vouchers, not only is it not having a positive effect, what it's doing is it's causing a real problem in terms of loss of tax dollars. So you have, the education sector, it can't seem to be able to budget enough money. It's always running in the red. Because what happens is people who would send their kids to private school anyway are now grabbing tax dollars for vouchers. And part of the problem, too, Mimi, is that the voucher systems that are out there give parents between $4,000 and $6,000. That's the average. Well, you can't get into a really good private school if you don't have the rest of the money, right? So two things happen. Either the people who would use who would be sending their kids anyway use the vouchers, or what happens is substandard private schools that are like the worst of the charters open up, and that's where parents wind up going. You know, there's no evidence that any of this works. Chile tried it. They created this horrible four-tier system based on the privatization ideas that have come, for the last 30 years down the pike with the Friedman Foundation. Mm-hmm. And what they had was this horrible system, very stratified in terms of SES, where you have municipal schools on the bottom, which is what is left of the public schools. And that's where basically the poor send their children, kids with learning disabilities, people who are disenfranchised. Then you have the charter schools, right? Then you have the voucher schools, and then finally the elite private schools, which are like Exeter and some of the elite private schools in this country. And now they're trying to unwind it. There's unrest in the streets. There are demonstrations. People want a good public school system back. But, once you break that egg, it's really, really hard to put it back. Sweden's experiment with privatization has not worked well. Their PISA scores continue to drop. You look next door to Finland, which invested in an excellent public school system, put money in, made it more equitable for all kids, and you see the scores go up. So, there's no evidence that any of this works. It's based on a belief and almost a hatred of our public school system, where children of all races and all economic backgrounds sit side by side. And, there are limitations to that because we have such segregated neighborhoods. But instead of working on those pieces, we're starting to work on these false solutions that are not benefiting kids. We're just not seeing any evidence of it. Privatization is not going to start with Betsy DeVos. Mm. Privatization's been underway now for quite a while.
Well, one of the other things that DeVos had been talking about was that applying the logic of the marketplace to schoolyard precincts, she has repeatedly questioned the values of those very precincts, of the physical existence. She has remarked that in the internet age, the tendency to equate education with specific school buildings is going to be greatly diminished. That I find tremendously alarming. I have always seen, in its best instance, a school building within a specific precinct as a kind of heart and soul for the development. Or it certainly should be for the community, for the parents, for the learning experience. This is something that she really ideologically questions, which, as I said, I find quite alarming.
It is quite alarming. And, when she's talking about that, too, she's not only talking about kids going willy-nilly on buses or trains or in their parents' cars to get to schools well outside their neighborhood. She's also talking about cyber schooling. And online schooling is a disaster. I'm not a technophobe. I think technology has a place in education. But, I came back recently from a trip to California, where you see what they call these independent learning centers, right? There are schools in shopping malls, literally in shopping malls, that kids only need to attend 2 hours a week. The rest of their work is either packet work or it is work that they do online, right? Now, listen, if you're maybe a kid who, or a young adult who dropped out of school and now you're trying to get a diploma, something like that might make sense. But they're letting kids as young as seventh grade in these schools. As young as seventh grade.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know whether a child is being abused? How do you know whether a child is in that school because they're depressed? How do you develop a child socially and emotionally? These are all important functions of schooling you can't have in this cyber world. And their results are horrific. If you look at the graduation rates of cyber charters nationwide, it's 40%. 40%. And, you know, you have some much lower. I found some of these schools in California with 0% four-year graduation rates. What happens is you see tremendous scandals being associated with them. You have for-profit companies like K-12 in Virginia that become, the charters become fronts, right? So somebody will open up a little nonprofit organization in California, and then they buy all of their services, the curriculum, the teachers, everything from K-12. K-12 recently had to give millions of dollars back to the state of California because it was cooking the books on attendance, right? They were pretending kids were going and when they weren't going. It was a huge scandal in Pennsylvania with a cyber charter where this guy was making millions upon millions of dollars and buying houses and a jet. His name was Trombetta. They got him on tax evasion. He's going to be going to jail. You know, the cyber charters in the state of Pennsylvania get the same amount of money as brick-and-mortar charters. So that, for example, in the Bethlehem School District, for every kid that attends a cyber charter, the district has to pay $11,000 for each kid. Now, you know, in a cyber school, it's not costing them $11,000 a kid to educate the child. And this then drains all of the resources from districts. And then what they get is they get the kid back maybe in a couple of years, undereducated, or the kid just slips through the cracks and never becomes a graduate at all. And, you know, for her to say this is great shows one or two things. Either that she doesn't care at all about America's children, or she is woefully ignorant about what is going on. And I think both of those choices, they're just unacceptable for someone to lead, you know, our nation's schools.
Well, Carol Burris, we've just skimmed the surface and must continue this discourse. I mean, to me, the idea of people like DeVos, whose lodestar really has been her conviction that any non-traditional public education, public school is better than a traditional one simply because it's not operated by the government, can't hold water and shouldn't. So we're going to continue to explore these very controversial issues. And I thank you for your extraordinary contributions. And as I said, you know, the idea that somebody left their work as after decades because of her vocation to public education and to our children is the kind of guest that we need to have on. And Carol Burris, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you. And if I could just ask listeners, the Network for Public Education, and you can do that with, that's our website, www.networkforpubliceducation.org, has a toolkit to help oppose Betsy DeVos. And we give letters, sample letters, we give scripts for calling, how to get in touch with your senators, how to write a letter to the editor, give you samples, everything you need. We need everybody in this fight. No more sitting back, no more saying, let somebody else do it. Every person who is listening, who loves public education and believes it is the pillar of our democracy, needs to act, and they need to act fast.
Take it seriously. Let's be proactive. Instead of winding up being on the defensive and reactive, let's oppose Betsy DeVos as
Education Secretary. Thank you again, Carol Burris.
Thank you, Mimi. Bye-bye.
And now Brave New Films presents Protect Public Education, Stop Betsy DeVos.
The job of the Secretary of Education is to ensure that every community has quality education. When I first heard about Betsy DeVos being nominated, I thought, oh God, no. I hope she can be stopped.
Betsy DeVos was nominated by Donald Trump to be Secretary of Education. She is a very radical, extremist choice because she's actually opposed to public education.
In nominating DeVos, Trump makes it loud and clear that his education policy will focus on privatizing, defunding, and destroying public education in America. The New York Times notes DeVos helped turn her home state of Michigan into one of the nation's biggest school choice laboratories, and the result was disastrous.
If given the power and authority, she would eliminate public education and replace it with religious schools and charter schools.
Our desire is to continue to help advance God's kingdom.
The DeVos family, Betsy and her husband, they sponsored a referendum to change the state constitution so that money could flow to religious schools. And that referendum was defeated. Subsequently, Betsy DeVos and her husband have put their money into charter schools.
Charter schools are free public schools that receive state and federal funds. These schools are privately run.
Betsy DeVos and her family have helped to create the environment in the state of Michigan, which has many, many charter schools. There are some good charter schools, but there are not very many of them.
Here in Michigan, 70 to 80% are run by private for-profit companies. So while technically those schools are public schools, that public money goes to private for-profit.
The DeVos family spend money through their political action groups to run people against supporters of public education in states across the country.
We change policy through political effort to elect or defeat candidates in states based on this issue.
If you're looking at Michigan, our entire state is failing. And giving her this job based on that, it's a sin and a shame.
A lot of schools and people in authority are letting our children down.
Charter schools get the vast majority of their funding from the public, but they don't have the accountability mechanisms that public schools have to have.
Michigan has no accountability for charter schools. Michigan is now spending $1 billion a year on unregulated, unaccountable, unsupervised charter schools. The quality of education in the charter schools is worse than in the public schools.
These schools are doing worse than our traditional public schools.
They're not able to read at certain levels, even through high school.
All the parents want is greater choice for their children, and they're happy with how their kids are doing. If they're not happy, they change to another school.
My children have attended 27 schools trying to give them a quality education. I had 5 children in school, and they closed those schools down without any community input. In my city, charter schools can open and close whenever, wherever they want.
3 Detroit charter schools shut their doors forever.
This charter school suddenly closed its doors in the middle of the day.
Suddenly and unexpectedly closing its doors.
How much of that money is going to be returned now that it's closed?
Well, none, Bob. Not a penny. Everything, computers, furniture, paper, all of it bought with taxpayer dollars. The school has no students, but it gets to keep everything it bought.
What children are robbed of is the stability that they need to learn.
They had no regulations. They were changing management companies in the middle of the school year. And it wasn't the teachers. The teachers were awesome.
How long can you go year after year with not getting what you need, without not having an assistant in the classroom, overcrowded classes, not enough supplies, no prep time?
Who's going to benefit from that? Because it's not the children.
The best schools are those where children and teachers and parents work together, and where there's a good relationship where everybody is centered on helping the children do better.
Even after waiting in line, their kids may not get in because the line just got them in the building where they had to enter a lottery.
Not all of the parents and the students that apply are able to get into the program every year.
As districts lose their federal oversight, they do begin to resegregate.
Charter schools are a new form of modern day segregation.
The more choices we have, the more competition we have,
but we don't have good choices in our city.
Wherever you hear the term school choice, remember that it was started initially by the Southern segregationists like George Wallace of Alabama and the many segregationists who, like him, wanted to keep the schools absolutely divided.
That's my fear, that we're gonna go back 50, 60 years again, and that's what scares me.
Because of the lack of oversight, the administrators and the people in charge of these charter schools can do what they wish with the money. Research into that has found a lot of wrongdoing.
Our money is being mismanaged by people who are in it for the money.
In Philadelphia alone, at least 10 executives or top administrators have pled guilty in the last decade to charges like fraud, misusing funds, and obstruction of justice.
One of the charter schools my daughter attended, they didn't have books. They were making copies from the books and sending them home.
It funnels public money that should be going to public schools into charter schools, which of course leads public education to fail. And then the GOP turns around and says, look at these failing public schools, let's shut them down.
Well, the DeVos agenda has already been proven to be one that ruins public schools.
And if you would hurt a great city like Detroit, what would you do to other cities that struggle, that have needs and really want to have a high quality education for their children?
The sidewalks were covered with parents, teachers, and students.
We're going to have to stand up for our public schools.
Make sure our kids get a quality education for their future.
We don't want this model throughout the United States.
Her intention is to make all of our schools charter.
You lured me in with the promise of a high quality education, and you've lied.
We have to show them the right way to do things.
Join together and defend public education.
We want everybody in America
to have a voice and to know that they do matter.
Public school needs to be safeguarded.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.